Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday, July 25th, in the year of our Lord 2019. We're coming to you from the bunker with episode number 39 here from the 306. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Simon, he's Garfunkel. That's an easy one.
Yep.
I just heard somebody yell from the booth over here. Nice. One of the guys behind the wall here. The Silver Fox joins us in the bunker for the warm-up here. Kelly Rempel, how are you, Remps?
Always feeling young, especially when I'm here.
No Moose Jaw Warriors gear today. What's wrong with you?
Well, I didn't just come from one of their events.
Ah, fair enough.
I just promised them that I'd wear something. Maybe next week.
The Silver Fox talks. Kelly Rempel with us in the bunker today. I hope everybody's ready for some fun sports talk today. Week 7 of the CFL opens tonight. Consider this your extended pregame show. There's a doubleheader. The Calgary Stampeders are at the Ottawa Redblacks at 5, followed by the Toronto Argonauts at the Edmonton Eskimos at 8. So my night's lined up.
Perfect.
Pretty excited about that. We'll be talking about all those games. TSN Calgary's Jermaine Franklin. Frankie will be with us on video chat this morning, along with the smiling one, Henry Burris from the CFL on TSN. People on the Facebook wall are already chiming in. Henry! Rems, did you ever say that in your times in the stands? Did you?
I'm going to tell him today.
You'd be all over that, actually.
I'm going to tell him today. I'm going to say, just so you know, Henry, and I will do this, you were my favorite villain.
You should tell him
all the years that I was in the crowd. I deep down in my heart loved him. It's like going to wrestling, right?
Yes, it is.
The guy that you absolutely like, boo, you know, when you're going to a wrestling match, deep down, you if you didn't love him, you wouldn't boo them.
You love a good heel,
right?
Because you need
exactly.
A good heel.
Every storyline needs a good guy and a bad guy. Look at, have you ever watched a movie in your life where there wasn't a bad guy?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't work without one.
No.
And he was the perfect heel. When he showed up at that press conference with that cowboy hat in Calgary.
You just hated him.
I was livid.
You know, it's funny you say that.
Yeah.
No, not all that. When you say, have I ever watched a movie without a villain? And my mind was just Star Wars, Darth Vader, old school, Dean Pritchard. All the movies, there's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Even
reality
all
TV.
Of them.
Even in like a stupid rom-com or something like that, there's always the other girl or the other guy. There's always a villain.
Wow, Remps.
Reality TV.
Good catch by you.
It's reality TV, but it kind of isn't reality TV.
That's why we love sports so much, right? It's the ultimate soap opera, reality TV.
But the producers and Big Brother or Apprentice, they search out the personalities before they ever go to air, and they, okay, this guy over here has some real heel characteristics. We're going to kind of manipulate the show to make him look like the hated one or the bad guy, but this lovable character over here, we have to do everything we can to put them over as the good guy. It's all nonsense, folks. That reality TV is, it's not scripted lines. It's real life drama, but it's manipulated the way the producers and the directors want it to go.
So, is Gaynor the good guy or the bad guy?
He's the good guy to us, but he's hated across the country now.
New Gaynor or old Gaynor?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We haven't produced a heel on this show, I don't think.
Not yet.
We're on. I'm on it.
The day ain't over yet.
I'm on it.
The Facebook wall, Don Mitchell, our good friend from the Royal Canadian Navy, says he's going to the game in Ottawa tonight. Don, and as I wrote in my column this morning, if you are in Ottawa watching today, or if you're in Edmonton watching today, go to the game tonight. Thursday night football is something the CFL is trying to make popular. I think it's a great idea, particularly if we're going to avoid NFL Sundays. Got to play sometime. So get out there and watch on Thursday. It is episode number 39, as I mentioned. Here in the warm-up, we always like to talk about famous jersey numbers of guys or gals who wore that number. Doug Wade, of course, for me, is very symbolic of number 39. Because very under the surface for me, I was always the Oilers fan, even when I turned on them after they traded Wayne on August 9th, 1988. I was still deep down an Oilers fan. So Dougie Wade for me. Dominic Hasek, the Dominator, people were writing in yesterday in advance of today's show. Nobody can just worry about the day. Larry Zonka wore number 39 for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
And they've retired it. And, because I had to look that one up, by the way, quarterback of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. Now, Kelly, you're just looking at this like...
No. Did Dave Albright, the middle linebacker of the Riders, wear 39 back in the day when...
I don't know, but Charleston Hughes does. Everybody's writing in with it. Doug Gilmore, didn't he wear 93? Somebody's writing Doug
Gilmore.
He
might have wore 39 once. I don't know.
Maybe with
though.
The Blues?
Yeah, not with the Flames, right? Early, and then switched.
Help us out with this, people. It's funny, because when Kelly starts thinking, you can not only see it, you can smell the smoke.
Do you remember the Eddie Lowe hit on Tracy Hammond? Dave Albright scooped it up and ran it all
West
the
final, absolutely, so, I do.
It's funny you mentioned Zonka from the Dolphins. I actually remembered that today because I was watching Ballers last night, and in season three, I was going back watching them again in season three or four, Charles, the Black Swan, was coming in as the assistant general manager and anyways wanted to hire Zonka as the new coach of the Dolphins. So he had an appearance in the show.
You're not the only guy, Remps. People are writing in saying David Albright did in fact wear number 39 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Roy Campanella, who of course I remember the name as a baseball great, but I didn't watch him play. He won the World Series in 1955. Eight-time All-Star in Major League Baseball, Roy Campanella.
How did the number 39 become a?
Because it's episode 39.
Oh, okay.
We do it every day now.
It's become a thing in the last week or so, right?
Okay. It started on the 33rd episode. Derek the Duke Myers said, "Who's your favorite all-time number 33?" And just like that, I said Patrick Waugh. And away we go. So it has been a week. And were you not here last week? You must not have been here last week. I don't think you were.
I was, but I don't remember us talking about that. Or maybe
it really only, I think it like big time this week, we've done it every day for sure.
And
see, I can only pick it up in pieces, guys.
K-Dog is writing in this morning and he says, yes, Dougie Wade wore number 39 with the Flames, where he is a Flames legend. It was only with your Leafs that he would don 93. Continuing on, Remps, I do want to get to the Blue Jays with you. Are you following them as closely as you always have?
No.
Okay, but it's fine. I guarantee you it's more than I am. So I'll get your take on that. You mentioned Ballers. Did you say you were watching Ballers last night?
Yeah.
Something dawned on me this morning, of the many things that do, that I want to have a watch party, the first ever Rod Peterson Show watch party we're going to do these a lot. But the very first one's going to be this Saturday, the Riders at the BC Lions. My wife's going to be out of town. I'm going to be alone. I didn't want to sit at home watching the game, and I thought, you know what? Let's have a party. Let's get a bunch of friends together and watch this game.
Let's have a party.
Let's have a party. We're having a party, Mr.
Let's
Whalen.
And you're all invited.
And you're all invited.
Yes.
So then all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, where are we going to do this party? Oh, we've got new sponsors here on the show. The Tap and Ballers Rec Room.
I was just there.
Ballers?
Yeah, this 3 days ago, Sunday.
I have not been. I hear it's
awesome.
Outstanding. So
staff party.
Because I don't spend a lot of time anymore hanging around lounges, bars, and nightclubs. But Saturday at 5, I think I'm probably safe. So I texted the guy that's running the show, one of the guys, Jeff Wire Stevens, this morning. And I said, which of those two fine establishments would work best for our watch party? He said, Ballers. In. So Ballers Rec Room this Saturday, 5 o'clock, Riders Lions. Be there or be square. We'll be hosting our first ever watch party.
Can I throw a plug to Ballers?
You can do whatever you want.
So Sunday, I work at Rempel and Dusick Financial, but we share office space with Dusick and Barlow Insurance.
Yep.
So Stephen Barlow comes to me a week or so ago, and he says, hey, you know you're invited to the Dusick and Barlow staff party, right? And I said, well, sure. He says, well, we're doing it at Ballers on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
So they had just there?
Like, I'm talking like 4 days ago on Sunday.
Sweet.
So he rented. You can rent the whole batting cage area like exclusively for groups and parties, right? So we had all three batting cages for like 3 hours. And my son came to me and he said, that is the most fun I've ever had at a party, ever. He couldn't drag him out of the cages. He loved it.
Driving force?
He's never swung a bat in his life.
Till now.
And he was crushing that ball. He had a pure swing. I thought, this kid should have been playing baseball, because if you can hit like that and you've never really played ball before, But it was so much fun. And even the women that don't play baseball or softball, they were in the batting cages. You know, they'll slow it down for you and so anybody can hit it. Little kids from this tall to grown adults that have played baseball, like they'll change the speed for your skill set and all that stuff. Everybody at this party at Ballers had an absolute riot. There's pinball, there's the basketball hoops, there's pool,
it was something for everybody.
Awesome.
Well, we'll check it out this Saturday at the first ever Rod Peterson Show watch party for the Riders and the Lions at Ballers Rec Room. But I've never been there, so I went on their Facebook page this morning to look at the photos of it, and it looks outstanding. This is right on the Dewdney Strip, and it kind of reminds me of Top Golf in the States.
Yeah.
Have you been to a Top Golf? The only thing it's missing is golf, or does it have golf?
Maybe
that'll be the next thing. But that's what it reminded me of. And it looks like, Kelly, it's just right for the party.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe Joe Rockhead will make an appearance.
That's the third Flintstones reference in 2 days. moving on. Our intern, Connor. Man, are things happening fast for him.
Quick.
He started here last Thursday as an intern. He's got a job interview in the business today. That's why he's not here. But yesterday, if you check my Instagram story at Rod Peterson Official, I had video of him wearing socks and sandals and socks. Yeah.
Everybody's doing that now.
Well, the kids, didn't we all used to?
The way he did it, the kids call it socks and slides.
Yeah, whatever it is.
The slip-on sandals.
I don't
sandals.
Care what they call it. We call it socks and sandals. And I love it. It is a, what's the world that I've been living in? Hockey and football. All the guys have been doing it for years.
Yep.
But my wife would never come out of the house with me if I was going to leave the house wearing socks and sandals. She's just, how could you do that?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell's wrong with it? Whether it's minus 40 or plus 40, I don't have a problem with it. But that's what spawned the poll this morning, the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. Socks and sandals. Thumbs up. Or thumbs down. And unfortunately, I think my wife got loose on this poll because 76% are saying no.
Okay, I have to tell you a story about this.
Sure.
You're going to think this is the stupidest adult parenting move ever, but I don't care.
There are many stupid adult parenting moves.
About 5 or 6 years ago, this subject flared up at our house with my daughter Ainsley and my son Spencer.
The driving force.
Talking about exactly. The driving force was and my daughter Ainsley were talking about socks and sandals and good or bad. There was one of those Disney shows, on one of the channels. I don't remember the name of it, but the theme was socks and sandals. So it created this full-blown discussion at the Rempel house. So we went to Banff, and the kids were bugging me about doing something. I don't even remember what they wanted to do. Maybe it was go to the hot springs or something, and we were torn as a family. What are we going to do? But the kids were adamant that they needed to, whatever it was, can't remember, they needed to do this. So I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I gave Spencer my phone. I grabbed my wife's phone and gave it to my daughter. I said, as soon as you guys come back with 50 pictures of people wearing socks and sandals will go.
It was a challenge.
So they took off, and there is nothing more hilarious than watching your 8-year-old running down the street, walking up to people that all they're doing is sitting on a lounge, and he's standing there
taking pictures of them,
running in and out of stores.
My guess is he didn't find anybody.
Oh, you know what? It took him a while, but they came up with it. They came up with all the socks and sandals. Now, what we laugh about is that now everybody seems to be doing it again. Like, it's like back then, like 5 or 6 years ago, they had to work all day at this. You got to remember, they were doing this all day long.
You didn't give them an hour.
It took hours to find 50 people. But now you could do it in probably an hour.
We should break, and we'll continue the frivolity after that. This is the warm-up, but I feel like we're just warming up. Ty writes in on the Facebook wall, who says the RP show isn't for the ladies? Bunch of fashionistas weighing in on the poll. I was hoping that you people would prove me right, that there's nothing wrong with socks and sandals. Now I'm starting to question my own thoughts on this. And I don't wear it. I don't wear them. Unless my wife's not around, because she's embarrassed to be seen with somebody wearing socks and sandals. Can we just make a deal? And that is, don't wear long black socks with your sandals so you look like, you know, a South African doctor that you see where they don't care. Maybe it's a thing over there. But if it's ankle socks.
The calf high.
Yeah, not
socks. Not good.
No. But ankle socks and sandals, can we?
Yeah.
Go to a kid's lacrosse game sometime. Every kid walks into the arena wearing socks and sandals.
It's a hockey thing.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, a football thing too, because Chris Zarka, I never saw him not in socks and sandals. And I tell you what, whatever Zarka wore was cool. Wouldn't have mattered. Clark's telling me to look at the prompter, and I can't. It's a button's been pushed here, and I don't know what's up. So, anyways, we'll break. That's the warm-up, and we'll be right back with a sports update on the way today. Henry Burris and Jermaine Franklin. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to $19,000 on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $32,999 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Capital Ford.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back. Thursday morning sports update. Marcus Stroman had a stellar outing for the Blue Jays. The only problem was Shane Bieber's performance was better. Bieber pitched a complete game one hitter as the Cleveland Indians wrapped up a 3-game road series with a 4-0 win over the Toronto Blue Jays last night. Stroman allowed just 1 run and 5 hits with 6 strikeouts and 1 walk through 7 innings. The LA Angels swept the freeway series for the first time in franchise history with a 3-2 win over the Dodgers. Cole Calhoun had a homer and 2 doubles while driving in 2 runs in his 2nd straight big game at Dodger Stadium. What else do we have here? The Denver Nuggets have officially signed Canadian Jamal Murray to the five-year, $170 million extension that the sides agreed to last month. Greatest sports quote ever. Speaking of the Denver Nuggets, George Karl's Nuggets are on fire. It's my favorite quote ever. And Tanner the Bulldozer Bozer will make his UFC debut before family and friends Saturday at UFC 240 in Edmonton. The Alberta heavyweight takes on unbeaten Brazilian Giacomo Lemos to open the card at Rogers Place. Boy, Edmonton is the destination you want to be at. They got week 7 in the CFL opening tonight with the Argos in town, and then UFC 240 at Rogers Place on Saturday. Wow, let's all get up to Edmonton.
It's exciting.
That is your Thursday morning sports report for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination and home of the first ever Rod Peterson Show watch party this Saturday for the Riders and the BC Lions. Where do we go from here, Remps? Where do you want to go? You want to jump into Riders Lions?
You steer the ship and I'll jump on board.
Well, I did say that this would be a bit of a pregame show for tonight's doubleheader in the CFL, so let's do that. We got a lot of time to get into the Riders and Lions game Saturday, which is not Canada's game of the week, nor are the two tonight. Nor should it be.
No.
The Friday night football game is Winnipeg and Hamilton. But, gents, here's where I'll go with this. Calgary Stampeders at Ottawa tonight to open up this doubleheader. Don't even know if Bo Levi Mitchell's going to be there or not. The word that I got over the last couple days from Calgary is that Bo Levi is getting a cortisone shot in his pec muscle, whichever one's bothering him. And I was told, Rod, he's in a lot of pain. He's in significant pain. And I said, no doubt. I'm sure that he is. But then why was he running wind sprints on the sidelines here before game week 5, the Riders at Stamps? It's just not all adding up to me. But can the Stampeders win in Ottawa without Bo Levi? They couldn't win in Hamilton without Bo Levi, but Hamilton's not Ottawa. So what are you guys' thoughts on this game tonight, the first of the doubleheader?
Well, my thoughts would be that I've always said and always felt that each week is a different chapter of a different story. So, you know, it's... Our tendency as fans sometimes is to say, well, if this team beat that team and then this team beat this team, then this team should be able to beat that team. I mean, that's not the way it works because every game is a different.
But people think that way.
Sure. We all get caught up in it. I mean, how many times have you said, well, we beat them by 10 and so they should be able to beat that.
But ipso that's not, facto.
Yeah, that's not the way it works because one play in a game can make such a difference in the swing of the game. I mean, let's even think back, not to bring it back to the Riders, because I'm sure we'll talk about that, but what if the Riders wouldn't have returned that kickoff for the touchdown with less than a minute left? I mean, do we know for sure that the Riders would have won that game? Maybe that was just enough to really, you know, put the opponent back on their heels. Maybe the BC Lions would have been a totally different team in the second half of that game if they hadn't have been, you know, kicked in the ribs, you know, by that kickoff return. So each game has its own story. And, you know, do I think the Stampeders are going to win? Probably. But it is, you know, a road game, and it's never easy to win on the road in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
You know, and
it is a tough place to play, too, for visitors.
Yeah. And sure. I think, you know, I mean, do I think that Ottawa is a great team? No. But I think that they're good enough that on any given night, especially with a backup quarterback, they could win.
Yeah.
I'm not predicting it's going to happen, but it's certainly there'd be bigger upsets.
Yeah. It goes back to Cody Fajardo, too, coming off the effort against Calgary and then bouncing back coming off a bye against BC for Nick Arbuckle, too. And not that he was that bad in the loss to Hamilton, but now you got to show that they can bounce back from a little bit of adversity. But they lost to Ottawa in week one. And the one thing they didn't do against Ottawa, I think it was Moises Madou, in week one, 112 yards on the ground. So they got pushed around on the ground, which Calgary doesn't do very often. So they got to be better against the ground game. And it'll be interesting to see the quarterback play from Ottawa, because I don't think Dominic Davis is ready to go this week.
He's not.
And so is Jonathan Jennings going to be able to put together a better effort? because he didn't look very good in his first time out in the loss to Winnipeg. So they have a tall order there. So Calgary definitely has the edge, but there's precedent there from week one. So it'll be an interesting game tonight.
I'm not sold on Ottawa's defense either. I mean, they give up a lot of points. You know, they do. Yep. I mean, they're just going to have to be a lot better. If they want to ever sort of get into that upper echelon or sort of like a number three or a number four, a number five team in the league, they're just going to have to play better defense, too. I mean, at some point, you just can't be giving up all those long drives all the time.
As our Thursday morning coffee discussion rolls along, I'll just sprinkle in little comments from the Facebook wall and Prairie Mobile text line. Stop! I don't even think they have control over this wall. The producers. Darren Steinke watching in Saskatoon this morning, where we're very big in Saskatoon. Steinke says, Blue Bombers fans will remember this number 39 in honor of episode number 39 of the Rod Peterson Show. Sean Kehoe. He was the most outstanding Canadian in Winnipeg's 1984 Grey Cup win. So we invite your famous number 39s. Mine will be Doug Waite as we roll along. Any Warriors ever wear number 39? Not Golden State, Moose Jaw. You'd have to think about it for a second.
Yeah, I don't think so.
From Garnet Elmer on the Facebook string. Good morning, Rod and Darren. I know you have Norway, but you also have North Star's country. So thank you. My flag is broken.
Uh-oh.
Can we get somebody on this? My Norwegian flag has broken. I will say this. We've been invited by the North, it's the Battleford's North Stars to come up from their home opener, right?
Yep.
Be part of the tailgate party there, do a book signing of my SJHL book, greet fans of the show and of the Stars. I'm looking forward to that. Their golf tournament's coming up in August. We've donated a prize package to the Battleford's North Stars. And I don't know about you, Dupes, but you and I were there for the SJHL finals. We broadcasted it on Max TV Local, and I had such a great time. I love North Battleford. Every time I'm zipping through on the way to Edmonton, I always drive through North Battleford and go, you know, it's so beautiful here. I'd like to spend some time. And we finally were able to.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place. Then lady from the Chamber of Commerce came up to me before game five. Were you standing there in the lobby of the rink?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Rod, thank you for saying nice things about North Battleford. And I'm like, but I mean them. Like, did you need them? I don't know. And by the way, all the photos in the lobby of the arena of all the greats. Emil the Cat Francis, originally from North. You remember Emil Francis, NHL goaltender, great general manager of the New York Rangers.
Home of Blair Achenham.
Blair Achenham, Robin Silvernagel, Ruben Mays, Brett Wilson of Dragon's Den. North Battleford's got a lot to pound their chest about. What do you got to thank me for saying nice things for? You did it. Goalie Adam Evanoff currently wears jersey number 39 for the Moose Jaw Warriors.
There you go.
For the tribe.
I was sitting there thinking, like, I feel like there's one that's staring me right in the face.
And Dan Kluche.
for the Vancouver Canucks. The one that let in a goal from center ice. Thank you, Jeremy Corrigan, for chiming in. I know we're all over the place on the program today. I think that's what people like. When are we bringing in Henry Burris, by the way? I knew. 11:15. And when are we bringing in Jermaine Franklin, Frankie, in 15 minutes' time? Okay, thank you. So we talked about what will be a good football game tonight in Ottawa, Calgary at the Red Blacks. Later on, guys, it is Edmonton home to the Toronto Argonauts. I don't want to start here. I never like to miss Terry Jones' columns. Jones at large. He's one of those guys that when you get the newspaper, you rip it open to find his column, right, Remps? Wouldn't you agree? He's one of those guys.
Yep.
So he was the latest to point out Corey Chamberlain's 14-game losing streak as a head coach. Five now with the Argos and nine with the Riders back in 2015. It's to the point now where you'd like to hide these things. If you're a Chamberlain fan, which I am, when he left here, we were on bad terms. When he came back with the Argos, we're now on good terms. And I think I'm a big fan of Corey Chamberlain, always was. So I don't like hearing the 14-game losing streak, yet it's fact. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. And the only way to change it is what?
Winning.
Win.
Is that unfair? Is it unfair to hang those losses on him? Because I believe that it is. He's not out playing the games. Even here he wasn't. Is it unfair that this is being pointed out, or am I being defensive because I like him so much?
No, I mean, the numbers don't lie. Now, having said that, I'm not sure if there's many coaches that would be able to have pushed, pulled, or dragged a win or two out of that team this year.
No.
I don't think you can blame him for that. But, you know, here's my thoughts on Corey Chamblin. You know how there's some guys that you look at as a coach and you say to yourself, great coordinator, not sold on him as a head coach. Yet, he won a Grey Cup, so maybe I'm out to lunch. But I just think he's a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. I think he gets overwhelmed sometimes. You know, some of his challenges, and he doesn't seem to have a lot of composure sometimes, where it's like there's just too many things to think about. Sometimes for some of those guys, that you're better off to just tackle one thing at a time, right?
Sure.
And if you only have to worry about your defense and he can lock into that, I think he's more effective than he is when he's got all these different moving parts. I just get the feeling sometimes that Corey gets overwhelmed as a head coach. But again, he won a Grey Cup. So, I mean.
And was coach of the year.
And was coach of the year.
Fair or unfair, Dupes?
Well, yeah. It's so hard to win without a quarterback. I can't remember the last time that he had one. A really good one.
No.
Well, I mean, Darian Durant, but he was winning, and then
as soon as Darian got hurt. Now, you need to have an organization that can withstand that. I mean, Calgary's doing an okay job withstanding the loss of Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yep.
The Riders now are doing an okay job withstanding the loss of Zach Collaros. So two organizations found themselves in a pretty good spot. They got pretty good coaches. So away you go. So you need some stability in the organization. It doesn't fall all on the head coach, but he's the leader. So when the organization's not going well underneath him, there's nobody to turn to. You have to take the responsibility, even though it's not your fault. And it's up to him to make sure he's got the right people and the right guys working with him. And between him and the general manager, I mean, not having a quarterback ran Mark Trestman out of the league. And we don't think he's a bad coach, do we?
I don't think so.
No, in fact, last year, I remember doing an interview with Mark, with Ballsy. And he actually said something, I was shocked he said it, but, you know, it kind of makes some sense. He said at the end of the season, when we were talking to him, he thought one of the best coaching jobs that he'd ever done in his career was last year.
The 4-14 Argos. Yep.
He said, I am more proud of the way what we were able to get out of that team. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. He just said, I know our record wasn't very good, but I truly believe in my heart that with what we had, our coaches, to be as competitive as we were, even though there weren't a lot of wins, I felt like I did as good a job of coaching that team as any of the teams that I had when we won, you know, Grey Cups. I thought, you know what, good for you, because that's so true, isn't it? I mean, it's when you have Anthony Calvillo and you've got a slew of just tremendous players. I mean, they were the best football organization. We talk about the Stampeders, but there was a run there where there's no doubt the Montreal Alouettes, you know, in the 90s and that, they were the 2000s, I should say. They were the class of the league. And he actually thought he did as good of, not a better job with a 4-14 team because
did he explain?
Nothing.
Did he explain? That's why.
Well, he
because they only won four games,
right?
So.
But he said his exact. I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but he said something to the effect of, "When you consider the inexperience and what we had to work with and the situation that we were put in, I am so proud of our coaching staff that we were as competitive day in and day out as we were. We really had to really coach these guys up and really come up with some plans to stay in these games." So what I read out of that is, yeah, when I was with Montreal, we had great players. And we did what we're supposed to do. We won because we had great players with a great quarterback. We didn't have that this year. So to even be competitive, we had to do a hell of a job as a coaching staff.
So, of course, Chamblin was on the staff with Mark when they won the Grey Cup in 2017. It's odd. The more that I talk, the more that I leave my past role and get into this new role, talking with people across the league, there's a and horrific culture in Toronto. How they won the Grey Cup in 2017 is almost a minor miracle.
It is.
Because of the culture there. And it stands to reason, right? You run out onto the field of BMO and there's nobody there. You feel like you're playing for nothing and it's not exciting. And there's issues. And I just look at the pressure of the job. Corey blew up on the sidelines the other night in Toronto or in Calgary because the guy took a dumb penalty. And that's why I hope for Corey's sake that he can keep his composure, because as you said, at times he looks a little overwhelmed out there. But I remember the Corey Chamberlain that showed up here in 2012 that was hired by Brendan Tamman, and I was singing from his hymn book, man. I thought he was doing everything right, and he was. But after 2013 and then the Durant injury in 2014, then he fired George Cortez and Richie Hall, and control became an issue, because that's what happens with football guys. And I would say submit sports guys in general is control. They want to control everything when they don't realize you need to rely on the good people around you, right?
Yep.
So unfortunately, Corey became, you know, that plane that blew an engine, right? Boom. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach. And he went through this metamorphosis in his year and a half, 2 years out of the game, goes to Toronto, learns a lot from Mark Trestman, not just about football, but about life, because the two are so similar, and they go and win a championship together, and now he's back, and he's inherited a team with a terrible culture, not great players, right? So he needs the support of his general manager there. It's going to take some time to turn it around. And Corey's the guy, I believe, that can. And is it going to happen tonight in Edmonton? Probably not. But and they've been on the road for a week, by the way. They played in Calgary and stayed there, right? They've been on the road all week. That could be good or bad. I guess we're going to find out tonight. Are you telling us we got a break? Can you make your point in 40 seconds?
Yeah. Don't you think it's interesting, though? You said something that really struck a chord with me.
Isn't it
interesting? A few things, actually. Don't you think it's interesting that in 2013, all any Rider fans talked about was just win. This is our last chance to win a Grey Cup in this stadium.
And he did it.
And they did whatever they had to do. They back-ended a bunch of contracts. They knew that they were going to probably implode for the next couple of years, but that's all anybody wanted. So they gave people exactly what they wanted. But then in 2014 and 15, now Corey Chamberlain and Brendan Tamman.
Gotta go.
Yep. It's not good enough anymore. It's like, what did you do for me last week? Well, hang on. These are the same people that wanted to win at all costs in 2013, and they delivered exactly what they wanted to do. So we got to be mindful of these things. Like, this guy's got a terrible football team to coach.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's, on one hand, unfair to point out. On the other hand, no, it's wrong that it's not unfair, because it is what it is.
Granted.
Right?
Yeah, somewhere you got to mix in a win in 14. I mean, that's almost a full season.
Well, I'm saying right now, this 0-5 Argos team is not Corey Chamberlain's fault, but it is what it is. And the only way to get out of a hole is one step at a time. You know, and it's going to take some time in Toronto, and maybe they won't win a game this year. I think they will, but perhaps they won't. TSN Calgary's Jermaine Franklin coming up after the break. They got a new arena coming to Calgary, don't you know? And the Stampeders are playing tonight in Ottawa. Lots to talk with Frankie about when we return. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. Podcasts at Google Play Music, CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes?
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, We service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing The Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Sports talk on demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. A lot of things going on this morning. One, our daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll is, are socks with sandals appropriate? Because our intern Connor's been rocking them, and frankly, I wish I could and not have my wife scream at me for it. 79% say no, socks and sandals are not appropriate. And that just 79% of people are wrong, I'm here to tell you. And on the Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777, text is 306-840-8777. Anonymous texter says, hey, Rod, I love the show, but I would love to have a chance to talk on the show about the destroying controversy, as I strongly disagree with your interpretation. Well, for one, I don't know who you are, so please leave a name. And for those that don't know, that's the Argos Kicker, the YouTube sensation that posted a video this week, and it had 500,000 views within a day of how much his life sucks because he's on the practice roster with the Argos as a third stringer making no money, and he's being taken advantage of by the franchise. I said, boo-hoo. If it's so tough, quit. Do us a favor and quit. You wouldn't be a YouTube sensation if it wasn't for football. I'm not going into that rant again, but if you want to debate it, fine. But
yeah,
that's how I feel. I if you don't agree with me, my feelings aren't going to be hurt. So let's go to Calgary now. They've been in the news a lot this week. We're bringing in TSN's Jermaine Franklin. How you doing, Frankie? Good morning.
Ah, good morning, Rod. You have feelings?
That's funny. Yeah, no heart in here. That's right. How are you doing, Frankie?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right. You know, we're finally getting a little bit of sunshine here in Cowtown. There's been a lot of rain in the spring and in the first part of summer, so it's nice to enjoy a little bit of sunshine.
Awesome. Well, I bet you're still partying about the new arena deal that was announced on Monday night. Looks like you'll have a new place to go to cover the Flames. All I know is it's going to cost $500 million and the cost is going to be split 50-50. What more do I need to know about this deal?
Well, I think the main thing about the deal is the fact that the city and CSCC finally came together and made this proposal and this plan together, which is the only way that it would work. Of course, way back in 2015, actually, it was when Calgary, the Flames, came out with their own idea and project. But when questions were asked, they really didn't have any answers. And the reason why is they didn't discuss it with the city, and the city wanted nothing to do with it. The city, of course, said they wanted a new building in their attempt to get the Olympics to Calgary, and the Flames said, hold on here, and who exactly do you expect to be the tenant in this building? You better talk to us. And finally, they did very quietly talk together, and that's why I think on Monday is when the big vote is by city council to approve it. All signs point to the fact that they will most likely approve the deal, which is huge. And then they'll have a new building probably within about 5 years.
Well, Jermaine, I follow this pretty quickly, or sorry, closely. I went to Mount Royal for college and I had a lot of friends and family there, including yourself. What's different with this deal than the past deals that they couldn't agree upon?
Well, I think it's the fact that the Flames basically said, or I should say Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corp, agreed to pay 50-50. They are writing a check for $275 million, not $100 million, and then you'll get the rest with a ticket tax, or not $180 million, and then we're all rent-free and we'll wash our hands of whatever. I think that's the key, that it is real cash that the CSCC is putting up, $275 million. The city is putting up the other half. They believe that it will be $550 million to build a building. The other part is the city is getting some funds back in real money again. Ticket tax, 2% over 35 years. Calgary has promised, I believe it's a promise, or cannot relocate in this 35-year term once the building is built. And the Flames are fully responsible for the operation and maintenance and repair to the building up to a point. I believe if it's a major repair cost, then that will go to the city. But other than that, I think the city has a much better deal, and the Flames basically anteed up where they didn't necessarily want to in the past.
Well, you know, Jermaine, and I've had some experience in these sorts of things with building new facilities and that, you're always going to get those people that criticize it. And some of the criticism that I've heard is because it's not downtown and all that stuff. But my understanding is that part of the charm of this is that they're going to develop and refurbish and add a bunch of life to that whole Stampede area. So it's not just the arena that they're building, I believe, right beside the Saddle Dome temporarily, and eventually we'll probably tear it down. But they're going to add a whole community. There's going to be bars and restaurants, and they're going to kickstart that whole area and almost make it like a Jurassic Park type of a, you know, can you fill in some of those blanks? But it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the new blueprint, basically. You can't just build a rink and then have parking lots around it with no life. This is going to be, it's called the Riverside Entertainment District. That's what they want, the Rivers Entertainment District, and that's exactly what they want. It's not just going to be the arena. There's going to be life around it, condos, bars, entertainment, you name it, it's going to be there. And that's the whole plan. And I think that's one thing that hasn't been mentioned as much is the opportunity there for businesses, and for, it's basically a revitalization of the east side of the city, the East Village. And they already started. They have a brand new library that costs a good $242 million, and they're just moving forward with more. And I think that's the key. And I think one of the things was the Flames, CSEC, wants to be a part of that. They want in on that real estate. And although it isn't guaranteed that it'll go to them, I think that they will have a very good opportunity to invest in that. And that's where most likely major dollars are to be made.
Well, I'm all for progress, and I'm all for Calgary, and I'm glad that this is working out. They deserve it. There's no doubt that they deserve it, Jermaine, and you know that. But you spend as much time at McMahon Stadium as you do at the Saddle Dome. Let's talk a little Stamps now, and clearly they feel a little left out in this discussion, right? Let me talk about that football stadium, because that's not happening in our lifetime, I don't think, a new one.
probably not. And that's gotta be tough for the Stamps. Of course, they're all part of the same corp, but it's gotta be tough for the Stamps to swallow. It doesn't look like it's going to be happening anytime soon. McMahon Stadium is old. It's run down. It's pretty decrepit, and it's not an eyesore, but it's not a place, it's not a destination where fans really want to go. They've been there, done that, decades and decades over. So I'm not exactly sure what the solution will be for that. Here's one thing that that needs to be done. The Stampeders need a field house. The Stampeders, and I can't say just the Stampeders, the city of Calgary needs a legitimate field house. The fact that a professional football team and any other semi-pro sport or whatever, whether it's soccer or not, they don't have a true indoor facility to practice in is ridiculous. This is Calgary. This isn't Florida. This isn't Arizona. Even there, it's probably just as important because of the heat to have an indoor facility to go to. The Stamps do not have that. Calgary is going to be hosting the Grey Cup this year. Both teams are going to be here. And as of right now, there is no dome, temporary or not, for them to practice in. So if the temperatures are sub-zero, if we're talking minus 20, minus 25 degree temperatures, which is possible, not probable, but it is possible, the teams will have to practice outside. And that could be a detriment to the game itself and the game plans. And that's too bad, because this is a first-class city, in my opinion, and we should have first-class facilities on all fronts.
At one time, you did, in the 80s, when I was living there. I'm serious, with the Olympic Oval and the Saddle Dome was new, you know, but that's a long time ago. And Jermaine, Nick Arbuckle will start tonight for the Stampeders at Ottawa. Tell us about this guy. Could he be the next one? What's going on there with the Stamps at the quarterback position?
I think we're going to have to wait and see. Can he be the next one? He can be a solid quarterback in this league, for sure. I think the fact that he's had three starts under his belt, his latest start, probably the least impressive, is just proof that the rest of the league now has film to work with, and now they have a game plan for Nick Arbuckle, and in many cases, it's for the Stamps offense in general. Bo Levi Mitchell certainly wasn't lighting things up before he got injured. Nick Arbuckle basically saved the Stampeders' butt in the last 3 minutes against BC at home. And moving forward from there, I think that he's having a little bit of difficulty reading defenses. I think they're forcing him to his second, third, or possibly even fourth option. And he doesn't like to throw the ball away, so he's taking a lot more sacks than the Stampeders offense is used to. But that being said, when he does throw the ball, he is accurate. As long as his receivers help him out by catching the ball, he had a problem with some drops, not Arbuckle's fault, but the receiving corps fault. Nick Arbuckle definitely has a future in this league, but I think it'll be interesting to see how he does against an Ottawa defense that seems to be able to play the Stampeders offense very well, as even when Bo Levi Mitchell is in.
Well, I think it'll be an outstanding game tonight in Ottawa, Grey Cup rematch. Frankie, thanks for coming on and helping us out with this show, and enjoy the rest of the day, my friend. Keep in touch.
Yeah, you got a new fan in this show. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Thank you, Frankie. Appreciate it. TSN Calgary's Jermaine Franklin. And I must say, the TSN, above all, has been so good to us in launching this show. Right, Dupes?
I mean,
you're on top of these things. When we've broken stories, they've given us credit for it. A lot of outlets have not. And they've been really good.
And CTV at the local level, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're all kind of tied together with that Bell Globe Media.
They're all owned by the same company. Yep. So thank you, Jermaine. And we are having a lot of fun here. But it's funny that he'd throw that barb about, you have feelings, Rod? Here's the thing about my relationship with other CFL cities, if you will. You know, I got friends that have gone to the Stampeders, whether they signed as free agents or gone to work there, and they call me up right after. They're like, they hate you here. The Stamps. I'm like, what? I thought we were just having fun. I thought this was WWE stuff to sell tickets. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, they hate you. Oh, well, I don't hate them. And I don't. Like, I love Calgary. How many times have I said that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually going there for a family reunion next month. And I can't wait for that. And then Winnipeg.
We're working on it.
We're working on Winnipeg. I would say the ice is melting, but it's taking a while. And by the way, Bo Levi Mitchell.
It's a slow melt.
It's a slow melt.
It's like the polar
ice cap. It's a glacier. It's taking a while. But Kelly, we've often said, you and I have known each other for a very long time. Who would have ever thought that the Moose Jaw Warriors, when I went into the Mosaic Place last year, would say, hey, come on down to the store and start tossing me gear left and right. T-shirts, jackets, put this on, wear it. And then I would actually wear it.
That's the amazing
thing. That's the amazing thing, and I would. Like, my oldest brother, the Cowboy, is like, are you nuts? I'm like, what? It's nice gear. And I like these guys. Swift Current, same thing. The town that I needed a police escort to get into. Remember?
Well,
not that long ago, in 2008. Come on down, Rod. Come and MC this thing at the casino. Come on down and speak to our high school kids. Who would have ever thought? It takes a little while.
Time heals all wounds.
Time heals all. Whoever said that
so
was
smart.
So right. Can we Google that in the break? Time does heal all wounds. So we're getting there. We're getting there. But we're not there yet. But we're getting there. My goal is to have the people of Winnipeg actually like me by September.
See, I'm shocked that you care.
I don't. Who likes to not be liked? Not me.
No, nobody.
I don't like people being mad at me. I thought we were just having fun here.
Well, you know, I always think back to my childhood and Kevin Gallant.
Right.
Right? You know, Mickey Mouse Night and all that stuff where he called the Moose Jaw Warriors a Mickey Mouse organization because of the score clock and all this. And then the next game,
he needed to wear a disguise in
Mickey Mouse ears. So instead of, you know, being a poor sport about it, he dressed up in a Donald Duck outfit. I mean, that's fun stuff. When I think back to being a kid, I wanted to tune in to CKRM as being a Warrior fan. I tuned into CKRM to listen to see if Kevin Gallant was going to say, again, heroes and villains, right? Mm-hmm.
He was the villain
growing up. But deep down, I loved him because he was bringing out the juice, right? Like, everybody needs their juice. They want to get fired up about stuff.
But that's not the way it is
so
anymore.
That's, well, I don't know. I mean, I think that people that, to use your words, not mine, but people that hate you, quote unquote, hate you.
Well, I think there's some hate there.
Yeah, but you've obviously, in order to hate somebody, you must have had an impact in their life to some extent, right?
I guess so.
Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy.
An American philanthropist. She said it. So
is she related to Pat Fitzgerald, the guy that went on the rant, the Northwestern football coach, about declining attendance in college football?
I love that.
I don't.
God, that was great.
Pat Fitzgerald, and this is Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy. What was the quote again? Time heals all wounds.
Yes.
Calgary, Winnipeg, we're working on it. Edmonton's never had a problem with me. Figure that one out. But they've always treated us first class. It's a two-way street, by the way.
What about your friend Dave in PR that used to...
Dave in where?
Chops all the time.
In where?
Edmonton with the Eskimos. Wasn't he mad at you there for a while?
Which Dave? The work for the Eskimos?
Yeah. What was his name?
Dave Jameson? The PR guy?
Yeah. Well, remember,
we've always been close.
No, but he was mad at you for something you said.
Oh, but they get over
that. I said, that'll heal itself within a month, Rod.
Oh, yeah. There was a guy, by the way, with the Eskimo season ticket holder that would come and stand in front of the press box and just berate me and yell at me. Be like an hour before the game. I would just stand there and listen to him. I'm like, are you done? No, you're a talentless hack. You're blah, 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 blah. If you're going to the game tonight, hi. Anyways, and that's the other thing. Now I'm on a roll.
They have to love you to hate you, Ron. They have to love you first to hate you.
Now I'm on a roll, but, you know, the play-by-play guys now are almost like robots. They're saying what the team wants you to say. And it's not really a challenge anymore. This is where it's at, where you can go on the air and host a show and give your opinions. That's one of the things I talked to Tori Gurley about last night for an hour. And I come home, I go upstairs to my bedroom, to my wife. I'm like, I can't believe this former Brown and Packer is calling me for advice on broadcasting. But he had an offer to go work for a team. He's like, Rod, I got a list of conditions that I have to meet if I'm going to go work for this team on the air. He's like, I don't think I want to do that. And I said, it's exactly the same for broadcasters with teams as players. You are under their thumb. And if you don't want to be under their thumb, Tori, then you got to forge your own path. And that's what he wants to do. That's why we're talking about these things. So, yeah, it's a different me on this program, clearly, compared to what I was doing before. Next hour, Henry Burris joins us from the CFL on TSN panel, plus sports social media analyst Philippe LeClaire. Just to round up hour one, we've announced the first ever Rod Peterson Show watch party this Saturday at Ballers Rec Room on the Dudney Strip. 5 o'clock, Riders and Lions. Come on down and join us as we'll watch the game, play some games, and have fun at Ballers Rec Room. And, yeah, we'll get to other business when we come back on show number 39. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back.
These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Enjoying the show? Why not join the team? We're exploding and in the market for a new top six forward. Have sales experience and ready to join a new team? Free agency is open and we want to hear from you or your agent. Send us an email to careers@dupontmedia.ca and submit your resume today. Do you have what it takes? For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.